something from yesterday. You may recall there was some discussion about a text in Srimad Bhagavatam dealing with demigods wanting to take birth on earth. Here's the text. Canto 5, Chapter 19, Text 28. 5:19:28. This is prayers, a description of the island of Javadvip and its prayers. So, we are now living in the heavenly planets, undoubtedly as a result of our having performed ritualistic ceremonies, pious activities, and yajnas, and having studied the Vedas. However, our life here will one day be finished. We pray that at that time, if any merit remains from our pious activities, we may again take birth in Bharatavarsha as human beings, able to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord is so kind that He personally comes to the land of Bharatavarsha and expands the good fortune of His people. Prabhupada's report. It is certainly as a result of pious activities that one takes birth in the heavenly planets. But from those planets, one must nevertheless come down again to earth, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Shine Punya Marchalokam Vishanti, 9:21 Bhagavad Gita. Even the demigods must return to earth to work like ordinary men when the results of their pious activities expire. Nevertheless, the demigods desire to come to the land of Bharatavarsha if even a small portion of the merits of their pious activities remains. In other words, to take birth in Bharatavarsha, one must perform more pious activities than the demigods in Bharatavarsha. One is naturally Krishna conscious, and if one further cultivates his Krishna consciousness by the grace of Krishna, he certainly expands his good fortune by becoming perfect in Krishna consciousness and very easily going back to Godhead. In many other places in Vedic literature, it is found that even the demigods want to come to this land of Bharatavarsha. A foolish person may desire to be promoted to the heavenly planets as a result of his pious activities. But even the demigods from the heavenly planets want to come to Bharatavarsha and achieve bodies that may be very easily used to cultivate Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu repeatedly says, or at least Prabhupada repeated, Bharata Bhumite verse. A human being born in the land of Bharatavarsha has the special prerogative to develop Krishna consciousness. Therefore, those already born in Bharatavarsha should take lessons from the Shastra and Guru and should fully take advantage of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to be fully equipped with Krishna consciousness by taking full advantage of Krishna consciousness. One goes back home, back to Godhead. Yanti Madhyajino Pimam, Bhagavad Gita 9:25. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore spreading this facility to human society by opening many, many centers all over the world so that people may associate with the pure devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement, understand the science of Krishna consciousness, and ultimately go back home, back to Godhead. for people that aren't in the room, not hearing what we just read is fine, because it's a discussion from yesterday and so on. So now, we're back in Vrindavan. Krishna has just killed Arishta. Who remembers what Arishta means?
Inauspicious. And Sanatana Goswami said, inauspicious for the cows, but inauspicious for everybody. Inauspicious. So the translation for text 15. Yes, text 10:36:15. Having thus killed the bull demon Arishta, he who was a festival for the gopis' eyes entered the cowherd village with Balaram. Purport. This verse exemplifies the sublime contrast of spiritual qualities within Sri Krishna. In one four-line verse, we'll simultaneously learn that Lord Krishna killed the powerful and wicked demon, and that his boyish beauty gave festive pleasure to his young girlfriends. Lord Krishna is as hard as a thunderbolt and soft as a rose, depending on our attitude toward him. The demon, Arishta, wanted to kill Krishna and all his friends. So the Lord beat him into a wet rag and killed him. The gopis, however, loved Krishna, and thus the Lord boyishly reciprocated their conjugal feelings. Jiva Goswami, in his commentary, writes, he was praised by the cowherds, sva jati bihi. This shows their intimacy with him, being his own people, sva jati bihi. Balaram had come with Krishna for fun, out of affection for his younger brother, to see the demon being killed. Krishna was by nature, a joy for the eyes, but now, having arrived after killing the great enemy, he was especially a joy for the eyes. Harivamsa says, quote, having killed the bull, lotus-eyed Krishna again enjoyed the moonlit night. He's going to do a Rasa dance after. After returning to the village, he went out again. This shows the intense attachment of Krishna for the gopis. Adi Varaha says, there's several Sanskrit texts that are directly from Harivamsa, and I'm just read them. North of Manasa Ganga, Gangayaha, the Lord marked with chakras on his feet, Chakri Naha, endowed with all powers and sweetness, Deva Devasya, fought a fierce battle with Arishta, killing the demon with the body of a bull at that place. In anger because the demon had disturbed Braja, Krishna produced a great tirtha by striking the ground with his heel. Knowing he had killed the bull, he desired purification. He bathed in the tirtha along with his friends after killing the bull. Still quoting Harivamsa, Krishna spoke to Radha, O fortunate Radha, how can you be as pious? I am sinless. I have killed this sinful bull, Arishta. According to Harivamsa, it's a little different than what we're going to hear shortly. Radha embraced him, who relieves all fatigue. She made another tirtha nearby, named after her. Again, this is still Harivamsa. It is famous as Radha Kunda. By bathing in these two kundas, one achieves auspicious results, and all sins are destroyed. The same effect cannot be achieved by a Rajasuya or Ashwamedha sacrifice. It destroys the sin of killing a cow or a brahmana. There is no doubt about this. So that's the Harivamsa reference. Krishna was worried that the earth wanted to broadcast his killing of the demon. Absorbed in the pastime of the killing, the people will not appreciate the glory of the tirtha. Therefore, he pretended the killing of a bull, actually a demon, was a sin and desired purification. Since the tirtha supposedly came from Patala, he made it glorious by bathing in it. After bathing there, he returned to Braja according to Harivamsa. Then, after some time, using his flute, he called the gopis for rasa dance. And on the way to the rasa arena, where Arishta had been killed, he met Radha, and separating her from the rest, spoke to her. Thinking she would make fun of him, he started by saying he was sinless. Quote, I am not sinful, but on the contrary, have become most sinless by constructing this tirtha. If you do not construct such a tirtha, how can you become pious? He explains why he is sinless. The demon was a bull in form only. He was actually the sinful demon named Arishta. He is a demon by his actions. Thinking of this, Radha then felt affection for him. In that meeting, she embraced him, giving up her shyness. Out of friendship, she also made a kunda. In order to make the kunda equal to Krishna's, she took the help of her thousands of sakis, since it would have been smaller making it on her own. The reason she could make the kunda was that she had embraced Krishna. At first she dug out the earth upraised by Arishta's hooves, and then solid earth. The kunda is next to Krishna's kunda, northeast of Govardhan. Govardhan is long and narrow, and it's like a peacock because that's the shape. You look at it from a Google map, there's pictures. And the tail, or puncha, is at the very, very bottom. And then the head is at the very top. And the head is tilted a little bit. That's northeast. Well, your way. Tilted a little bit northeast. Similar, Sanatana Goswami writes, he was praised by the cowherd, Sva Jatibihi. He was pleased by their praise. He had gone outside of the village to kill Arishta, and thus now entered the village. Previously it was said that Arishta came to the village. This meant he came near the village. Or, thinking of causing great disturbance, he entered the village. Balaram had come with Krishna out of affection for his younger brother to see the demon being killed. He was joy for their eyes. Without seeing him, how could they experience any happiness at all? When he went away to kill the demon, they felt great sorrow. And when he returned after killing him, they felt great happiness. Or they felt greatly happy on affectionately seeing him after he killed the demon. That night he performed the rasa dance. From Harivamsa, quote, having killed the bull, the lotus-eyed Krishna again enjoyed the moonlit night. Paragraph. On striking his heel to the earth, Arishta Kund was formed. Because he had killed a bull, Radha joked. Then he created another Kund to satisfy her, famous as Radha Kund, honored by the whole world. This is described in Varaha Purana. So I think it's Adi Varaha Purana. Both Kundas are still present near Govardhan. Now, we're used to hearing a different narration, and I'm going to describe it because it connects to what we just read. But the very next verse, which is text 16, this was 15, there's a lengthy description in the BBT publication of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's explanation of Shyamakund, Radhakund, what happened after the killing of Arishta. Yeah. In the verse text 15, there's a phrase, Nayana Utsavaha. Utsavaha means festival. So it means Krishna was a personified festival for the Nayana, for the eyes. So here's the translation of, actually this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's translation. Tomorrow we'll read it again, the BBT translation of text 16. After Arishta had been killed by Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Narada Muni went to speak to King Kamsa. That powerful sage of godly vision addressed the king as follows. That's text 16 translation. Here's Vishwanath's commentary, tomorrow's verse, or the next verse. The term Deva Darshana, a name for Narada Muni, indicates that Narada has attained perfection of seeing God, and that he knows or sees the pastimes of Krishna. Knowing that Krishna's Vrajalila was ending, Narada spoke to Kamsa to induce him to bring Krishna to Mathura. Paragraph. In 20 verses, the Puranas describe how Radhakund and Shyamakund appeared after the killing of Arishtasura as a result of a joking conversation between Radha and Krishna. He doesn't say which Purana. He just says, in 20 verses, the Puranas describe. So here's the translation, printed in the VBT publication for that verse. Radha said, "Oh, killer of a bull, do not touch me today." Krishna replied, "Oh, foolish woman, that is not a bull, but a terrible demon disguised as a bull." Radha, "Oh, Krishna, that may be true, but even though Arishta was a terrible demon, still, he was a male cow. So, you will have to undergo atonement, just as Lord Indra did after killing the demon Vritrasura, who was a Brahmana." Krishna, "Oh, Radha, what should I do to atone for this act?" Radha, "You can purify yourself by bathing in every single holy place in the three worlds." Krishna, "Why should I have to wander throughout the entire universe. I will at once bring all the countless pilgrimage places here and take my bath in them. Just watch. Saying that, Mukunda struck his heel on the ground to make a hole and said, "Come here." Then all the holy waters in the universe and their presiding deities came, along with the Bhagavati River coming from the Patala region. Maybe you were wondering why was there reference that Krishna's, this Arishta Kund, was water from the Patala region. It's Bhagavati, which is this Ganges coming down. Krishna, "Hey, Sakis, behold all the holy waters." But the gopis did not believe Krishna's words. Then those best of holy places, joining their palms in supplication, came forward and introduced themselves. Quote, "I am the salt ocean. I am the ocean of milk. I am the Amara Dirghika." Amara, deathless. And Dirghika means lake. Dirghika. "I am the river Sona. I am the Sindhu. I am the Tamraparni. I am the holy place Pushkara. I am the river Saraswati. We are the Godavari, Yamuna, and Reva rivers, and the confluence of the rivers at Prayag. Just see our waters." After purifying himself by bathing, Krishna became quite arrogant and said, "I have made one lake containing all the various holy places, but none of you have performed such pious work." There's other versions that come from this. Hearing this, Radha said to her friends, "I must create an even more beautiful lake. Go to work and construct one with great care." West of Krishna's kund, where Arishta's hooves had made a hole, the gopis began digging up lumps of soft mud with their hands, and in the short span of an hour, Gatika Dvayena, they made a beautiful divine kund. Astonished to see the lake the gopis produced, Krishna thought of enjoying rasa and said, "Oh, lotus-eyed Radha, please take some holy water from my kund and fill up your kund." Radha said, "No, no, 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 this is impossible, since the water of your lake is contaminated by your terrible sin of killing a cow. My countless sakis will bring billions of pots of pure water from Manasa Ganga to fill up my kund. By this, my fame will be spread throughout the universe." At that time, Sri Krishna gestured to a heavenly personality who was an intimate associate of all the holy places. Suddenly, that person rose up out of Krishna's kund and bowed down to Vrishabhanu Nandini, Radha. Then, with folded hands and tears in her eyes, she began to offer praises. "O goddess, even Lord Brahma himself, the knower of all scriptures, cannot understand your glories. Nor can Lord Shiva or Lakshmi. Only Krishna, the best of men, can understand them. And thus he feels obliged to personally wipe the perspiration from your limbs when you are fatigued. Krishna is always anointing your lotus feet with nectarian charu and yavaka and decorating them with ankle bells. Krishna rejoices and feels most fortunate simply by serving your lotus feet. On Krishna's order, we have immediately come here to live in this most excellent lake, which he created by one stroke of his heel. But only if you now feel satisfied with us and bestow upon us your merciful glance, will the tree of our desire bear fruit. Being satisfied with the praises spoken by the representative of all the holy places, Radha said, "So, kindly tell me your desire." The holy places clearly stated their desire. "Our lives will be successful if we can enter your kund. This is the boon we pray for." Glancing at her beloved from the corners of her eyes, Rishabhanu Nandini replied with a smile, "Please come." Radha's sakis all agreed with her decision and became immersed in the ocean of happiness. Indeed, all the moving and non-moving creatures became enlivened. Thus, gaining the mercy of Radha, the holy rivers and lakes in Krishna's kund forcibly broke through its boundary walls and swiftly filled Radha Kund with their waters. Krishna said, "O most beloved, may your kund become more famous in the world than mine. I will come here daily to bathe and enjoy my water pastimes. Indeed, your kunda is as dear to me as you are." Radha said, "I will bathe in your kund as well, even though you may kill hundreds of Arishta demons here. In the future, anyone who has intense devotion for this kund, which is on the spot where you chastise Arishtasura, and who bathes or resides here, is sure to become very dear to me." And the Sanskrit is given. Snanyad vasena mama sa eva mahapriyostu. Last paragraph. That night, a brilliant flash of beautiful lightning in the form of Sri Radha, whose glory is spread throughout the three worlds, caused a shower of blissful rasa to fall from the Krishna cloud by performing rasa dance on the bank of Radhakund. So it's a little different than the version that presented by the other acharyas, but the other acharyas' version is scriptural and authentic. And so how do we take things like this that look like, "Hey, wait a minute, and here it says this, and there it says that. What's going on?" There's different ways. The most common way is different kalpa, different day of Brahma. No problem. And Srila Prabhupada's explanation is Krishna's pastimes are like a spool. Spool, my understanding of his using that phrase was moving pictures at the time was frame after frame after frame after frame. It wasn't digital. And the film was connected on a spool and was run through the projector by showing light in it. It was a moving picture. So Krishna's pastimes are like a spool. And there's variety because it's not always the same thing. It's variety because variety is the mother of enjoyment. So he would explain like that. So each time Krishna appears, there's some slight variation or Ramachandra or the other forms of the Lord, Lord Varaha, etc. Some slight variation. And it's natural, it's to be expected. So, no problem. There are other explanations, but like something like this is quite distinct, factual. Sometimes there are different perceptions of the same event, and so it's narrated somewhat differently. And that's also another possibility. One of the ones I really like, it's found in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, where Krishna's killing of the Keshi demon is described. And he doesn't kill the Keshi demon in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. He subdues Keshi, and then he keeps Keshi in a corral, and from time to time the cowherd boys will go horseback riding on Keshi's back and have a good time. So that's not in Srimad Bhagavatam. So how do we understand? It's not Sanatana Goswami's creative writing spree. It's, you know, it's described there. It's a different kalpa, a different day of Brahma, because only once in the day of Brahma are Krishna's Braja pastimes performed. So along with the killing of Arishta, which is what we have been hearing, it's secondary. It's actually even incidental. But it's secondary. The main is Krishna's enjoying his activities with the cowherd boys. So, but it's essential. He's fulfilling a promise given to the demigods and given in Bhagavad Gita. He fulfills his promise. So Arishta was a demon, not just like, so how does a demon, we were discussing this in the evening about Agasura. Are these people special? Because they're getting some mercy. They're getting deliverance from their sins and some kind of higher elevation. Elevation to the Brahmajyoti or Krishna's abode. It's not always like that. But in all cases when the Lord kills demons, this is our Acharya's just explanation, there's always some benefit that comes to them besides elimination of their sins. They're given an opulent life or something or something. Now, giving somebody an opulent life, that's specifically spoken about Hiranyakashipu, his next life was Ravana, very opulent life, with great powers, etc. But those, you know, those were his wrongdoing, or those were his demise, because he was attached to enjoying his opulence and enjoying and misusing his powers because his heart was demoniac. So the real best friend or well-wisher of someone is to revive their attraction for Krishna. That's the best. So that's how we can be an assistant to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not easy. There's aversion. Nonetheless, that's serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is ultimately serving Krishna's interest also. Drawing the attention of souls again to Krishna somehow. to do that requires Krishna's empowerment, and it also requires that that's the place, at least in principle, that's the place where you want to go and you want to assist others in going there too. What to speak of if you're there? That's super best. So let's see if there's some discussion. It's a big adventure reading the Bhagavatam. You don't know what's next.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I had a question regarding, you mentioned a heavenly person was called upon by Krishna. Who is that heavenly person?
A heavenly person was called upon by Krishna.
When Radha Kund was being built.
You mentioned a heavenly person who was associate of all these holy places.
Oh, who was that person? One of the rivers. That's what I was reading it. I mean, it doesn't give the explanation of who, because that's your question. It doesn't give the explanation who. I just took it that it was one of the holy rivers representing the others. That's how I took it. I could go back and read it again, but it doesn't give the definitive answer to that question. Yeah.
I was trying to understand, based on yesterday's discussion, that what made Putana so different or special, even though she was more evil than the other demons, that she got this special place of being a nurse in the spiritual world. Is it just because when compared to the other demons, nobody offered anything, they were just trying to do damage, and she was, the only difference with her was she offered?
There's two answers that I'm aware of. One, she came as a nurse. She came to do some service. Or sometimes it says she was dressed in a sari. Like, you know, a Vaishnavi, as the resident of Braja would do, dressed like a Vaishnavis. And the second, let's see if I can remember. In her previous life, she was Bali Maharaja's sister. And Bali Maharaja's sister, when she saw Vamana, she had great affection. Oh, look at this beautiful young boy. But when Bali was bound up, she became very angry. This is wrong. So in her next life, she became Putana. And when she came to kill Krishna, her first thought was the same as Bali Maharaja's sister. How beautiful. Let me kill him. So just that little, how beautiful is Krishna. Let me do some service. Let me do some little service. Krishna accepted that. And the others didn't have that. That's the little service. That's what Uddhava says in third canto. Go ahead.
In Vyomasura's case, we also see that he also recognizes Krishna as special when he comes.
Who?
Vyomasura.
He recognizes he's formidable, and the way to control a formidable opponent is take away that which is dear to them. And that same psychology was Kamsa asking his minister, what's really dear? What does Krishna have the greatest affection for? the calves. Great. So here is a calf, and he'll guardably down. Then you can get him. It's just material calculation. That's my understanding of what the Vyomasura was. How to get that he's formidable. Where's his weak point? He's attached to his friends. Let me go take away his friends. And then he'll be weakened. And I can get him. Like war games. You know. Fighting. I forget. I think it was Nathji that said when he met Prabhupada, like a businessman, what you do is you try to see where the person's weakness is. But I didn't find any. And he tried this and that and that and the other thing, and he had no weakness. So then I surrendered to him. But, you know, it took a while. But because he was convinced that he has no material affinity. Didn't want money, didn't want praise, didn't want anything.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So you mentioned you were reading from Harivamsa, and you mentioned how bathing in Krishna Kund and Radha Kund relieves ones of sins and leads to liberation, I think. And I was just wondering, did Prabhupada encourage bathing in the Kunds? Because I heard different things.
Your question is, did Prabhupada encourage bathing in the Kund? Mm-hmm. It went through some stages. When he first took devotees, they were playful, and he then said, no bathing in the Radha Kund. And that held for some time. And then it became two things, only with the direct permission of Guru and when you are absolutely respectful and prayerful. And then that became the standard.
And also we keep hearing many times in the scriptures if you bathe in the Ganges, you're relieved of your sins, or if you're bathing here. So how do we understand that?
It's true. That's how we understand it.
Okay.
There's specific potency, not just, say, spiritual. There's sin-forgiving potency invested in these sacred rivers. The sacred rivers personified, and the sacred rivers of those sacred personified personalities. They have that, they're invested with that potency. Anything else in the room?
Marge, this is a kind of random question.
A kind of what?
A random question.
A random question.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering, what do the Vedas say about dinosaurs?
What did what?
What do the Vedas say about dinosaurs?
About dinosaurs? I don't think the Vedas say anything about dinosaurs.
So, do they, exist?
Did they really exist?
Yeah.
Well, they find bones. Prabhupada's answer is dinosaurs, finosaurs. I mean, when he was asked about this. If they exist, that's fine. There's 8,400,000 species in probably, there's other species, and some species don't exist anymore. So it's this romper room for speculators. Hey, da 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 da, and here's a bone, and here, then the big guy looked like this. Then they find another bone. No, he looked like that. But were there large creatures? There's bones. So they existed. And, you know, what's the circumstance? There's no description of that circumstance in the Vedas. You know, and one answer is it wasn't really important. Like there's a devotee that's, I just was hearing his lecture, video recorded lecture on a Stanford PhD graduate, Stanford University. And one of his friends, as he was talking to his friend about Prabhupada's books, he said, well, you know, where does it say anything in the Vedas about quantum mechanics? And that this devotee narrates, you know, I was taken aback because a major part of what I'm studying is quantum mechanics. And I guess it just wasn't important. It's not, so if it's a truth, then truth is found in the Vedas, in all truths. But, you know, there's not minutia. It's things that are important. And things that are important especially because they lead us to understanding the source of all things. So, nothing in the Vedas about dinosaurs.
Thank you, Maharaj.
At least as far as I know, and Prabhupada didn't confirm anything.
Maharaj, like, I was reading this purport the other day, and...
Which one?
2933. Towards the end, Prabhupada writes demigods like Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, I think. So, my question was, Vishnu is considered a demigod?
In the sense that he's presiding over the mode of goodness, which is material. Mm. In that sense. Question. That's your question?
Yes.
Anything else online? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki? Jai. Jai.